Hi, this is Drew, and thanks for listening to our podcast. Hopefully, you've been enjoying our show for a while now, but if you're a brand new listener, then the next 50 seconds are not for you, so just go ahead and fast forward a bit. I just wanted to ask our longtime listeners to consider becoming patrons of The Drew Marshall Show, because by throwing us just a few bucks each month, you'll be helping what many tell us is the most brutally authentic spiritual show they've ever heard stay on the air. Look, as loyal podcast listeners, you've been getting the same programming our radio listeners have been hearing live Saturdays 1 to 5 for the last 16 years. Except you get to hear everything commercial-free, you smart consumer, you. Well, because of a brand new arrangement with our studio, our expenses have now gone through the roof. And to be brutally honest, we could use the help to cover those costs. So just before you go to bed tonight, maybe you could stop by our website and click on the giant click here to become a patron sign. And if a whole bunch of you were able to scrounge up like $4 per month, then individually your $4 would have just made a massive difference in helping us cover what it costs to bring you the Drew Marshall Show. Okay, that's it. Sorry to bug you. Now on with the show. I hope you have a good sleep tonight after you become a patron.
It will be forever.
I'd like to read a little poem to everybody, if you don't mind, while the music is playing. Little did I know my life would change that day. Like so many others, I was going to Gary's to play. Suddenly she appeared, an amazing change of scene. Entering the yard came a girl named Marlene. On being introduced, I knew I had it right, having just experienced what's called love at first sight. My summer plans changed, that was for sure. Less time with Gary, more time with her. Spending days with my new love at the yard, my school. Pushing a swing, now that was real cool. Winter followed, we enjoyed lots of dating. Kielsdale Park was the place, a great rink for skating. Our relationship deepened, and then as you might guess, then came that night when we snuck our very first kiss. I began to believe we'd be together, hopefully forever. There could never be a reason our relationship might sever. However, a working girl, a high school student, became a strain of sorts. Do you know what I mean? Like a strain. I don't know if you can handle that. A strain. We found ourselves relationally. It just no longer worked. Now, I gotta figure out here. I'm gonna get the rhyming right here. In shock, dismay, and tears, not really handling it well, I walked and tore up photos, having decided, what the heck, months of separation, depression, not unexpected, a message, finally, can we get reconnected? With joyful heart, I responded, yes, let's plan to meet soon. Could we meet tomorrow, say about noon? Our love soon was rekindled. We talked about whether there might be for us an exciting future together. A blessing from parents and from dad, a small loan, a big step was to be taken into the unknown. A very long time since the school and the swing, one night at a movie, onto her finger a ring. Shortly thereafter, plans began to take place. I finished my high school, then we picked up the pace. September 6th, 1958 was the day we appointed. After saying I do, the marriage was anointed. We launched into the future, me and my wife. We promised each other we got married for life. I would do it again without blinking an eye. I would love Marlene more than I love lemon pie. But seriously now, there's one thing I now shout. The Lord brought us together. There's not any doubt. 60 years of marriage, no doubt in my mind. I love you forever. You're one of a kind. I close this poem with the joyful shedding of tears for the blessings received these past 60 years. Our children, grandchildren, both original and great, our friends here tonight helping us celebrate. Marlene and Ken, an amazing love story. Only one thing to say. To God be the glory. Written by one and only Ken Dick, who has been married to Marlene for 60 years, and they are here in the studio. Hello. Hello to both of you. What a treat to have you here. Just snuggle into the mics a little bit. Yeah, there we go. So, Ken, do you think there's a writing deal in this for you? Could you maybe write some love songs as well, or... What do you think?
Well, I've actually finished that career.
Yeah, it's all done.
Yes,
it's behind you.
It started in high school, but yes. I finished now.
Yeah. 60 years. And then as we were playing that Nat King Cole song, I saw a little touchy-feely stuff going on. Who's more, Marlene, I want to know who's more touchy-feely, Ken or you?
I don't know. It's kind of even.
It's kind of even?
Yes.
Yeah. Always even? Have you always been mutually touchy-feely?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who else was maybe in the picture back in the day? Was there somebody else that was in competition for Ken, for your hand in marriage and love? Was there another fella that you liked?
Yes.
I wanted to go right for the blood. Right for the blood. And what happened to him? Well, obviously he didn't get picked, but is he okay? Because
I don't know, but we worked together at the Parliament buildings, and that's where I met him.
Wow. Mm-hmm. The last name was Trudeau? No.
No. No.
Ken, I got to say, have never, I love writing that kind of stuff myself. I'm a bit of a mush bag and poetry and all this sort of thing.
Right.
Well done. Well done. Did you read that at your 60th anniversary party?
I did.
Yes.
In defense of my own story and the fun that was being made of us.
Yes.
I felt I had to stand up and say something.
Good for you.
So I wrote a poem.
Good for you. Well, you knocked it out of the park there, big guy. You really did. You know, The Secret to Love is this segment we've been doing for the entire month of February, Love Month. And I have been interviewing married couples who have been together for 50-plus years and asking them, what is their secret? And Ken and Marlene Dick were married in 1958 when they were 19 years old. And they, of course, have been married for 60 years, coming up to 61. Both celebrated their 80th birthdays as well. So, I have so many questions for you guys. So many questions. Do you think the closeness in age is a benefit, Marlene? What do you think?
Yes, I think it's good.
Yeah. Has it ever put, it's never reared its head in any strange way. I can imagine maybe somebody 20 years apart, that might come up as a bit of an awkward thing sometimes.
I think so, but I think for us it has worked well.
Yeah. What's one thing, since Marlene, we're talking to you, what's one thing about Ken that just drives you nuts? You just want to smack him one upside the head. Just one, though, okay? We don't have a whole long show for this.
Well, right now he's hard of hearing, and he can't help that. He wears hearing aids, but he doesn't always hear what I say to him.
And that's frustrating.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And he can't help it.
Yeah.
And that's frustrating.
I have the same kind of problem, although mine, I've been told that my hearing is fine. My brain just needs stuff louder. No, I've been actually told that by the hearing doctor. Right. Ken, do you ever just say, well, let's see, what do I really want to know? When did the wooing stop?
The wooing?
Yeah. You know, men are like that. We're sort of conquerors and conquest. And we got her, the ring's on. She said yes, we're married. Okay, now I can just relax a little bit.
Well, I was only 12 when I met Marlene.
Uh-huh.
And to my feelings right now, the wooing's never stopped.
Oh, my goodness.
Taking notes from this guy.
Seriously. Are you serious?
Yeah. I've never,
Marlene,
I've never had
Marlene, is he serious?
I guess so. What do you mean by wooing?
Well, you know, doing nice mushy stuff for you, saying mushy things and treating you like the jewel of his whatever, I don't know, that kind of stuff.
Yes, I think more so since we're aging. He likes to open the door all the time for me and help me, and that's another thing that kind of bugs me because I'm used to doing all these things by myself.
You're an independent
woman.
And
all of a sudden, he opens the door. He, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's good. I love having him open the car door for me.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. But the odd time, you just want to say, dude, I can do this myself.
Yes.
Yeah. You ever called him dude, by the way?
Probably.
Not to my face.
No, yeah. Some other names maybe along the way as well. So who made the first move? I love these kind of, you know, love stories. Back in the day, who made the first move?
I'm going to say I did.
I'm looking at this woman, and I think you should have.
I think.
Because she was a cousin to a neighbor that I went to school with.
Okay.
And she actually rode by my house on her bicycle.
Wow.
And I saw her go by at one point.
Yeah.
But when I went around to Gary, her cousin, his house, she was in the backyard.
Yeah.
And that's where I first met her.
And you were how old?
12.
12. And then when did the sort of the dating stuff begin?
Well, that's summer and winter. So by then I had turned 13 and he was about to turn 13. So we were together most of the time until I went to work and he was still in high school.
You went to work at 13 years old?
No. I was only 15, though.
when you went to work?
Yes, I got a job as a secretary to some lawyers in the Parliament buildings.
Wow.
Yeah, I was, well, as a steno. I was a steno, yeah. So I took shorthand and typing. And
wow.
Our first day was in the schoolyard.
The first day?
The first date.
First date was in the schoolyard.
And mm-hmm. we met. It was summertime, so I pushed her on the swings. That's how we spent a few days a week.
Did you have to be careful with your hands when you're pushing her on the swing and just to be very classy about, you know, not touching her in inappropriate places there?
I'm not going to say what you want me to say.
You guys are funny.
I think my kids may be listening.
Well, we don't want any of that happening back in the day. Let's talk about the proposal. How long had you been going out for before you decided it was time to propose? Do you remember?
Oh, 16. Yeah, probably. I was in grade 13.
Okay.
In those days, we had grade 13 high school.
Right.
And we went to a movie.
Right.
We went to see The Pride of St. Louis.
Beautiful.
Lindbergh.
Yeah.
At the Uptown Theater on Yonge Street.
Okay.
I remember.
Yeah.
I went back. Bought some Cracker Jack. And I came back down and sat beside her.
You didn't have the ring in the box.
He did.
I did.
Come on.
I reached into
the box. Marlene made a mucky face.
Well, I reached into the box and I said, oh, look, the prize.
Yeah.
But it was not the prize. It was a bigger prize than the prize.
Yes.
And so that was the diamond ring. And we never saw the end of the movie because she had to leave and tell her mom and dad.
Did you cry, Marlene? Were you emotional at that point in time? Or were you just silly or giddy? Or what were you like?
I think a little bit of everything.
Column A and column B.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now when I think of it, I think
I should have stayed for the end of the movie.
No.
Did Lindbergh make it?
No, I just always think that since our grandchildren have been getting married and their proposals were such a big deal, and I got my ring out of a box of Cracker Jacks. That was kind of...
Come on. That's gold.
But it was fine then.
Yeah.
It was fine then.
Do you still have... Is it the same ring?
It's this ring.
You cleaned it up a little bit since the Cracker Jack
but
box.
But he's bought me a new one since
Oh,
then.
Look at that. Mm. Is that out of guilt? Did he buy it?
No. Huh? No. But
sometimes guys do that.
No, he just wanted to know what I wanted for Christmas in 2009, I guess.
Okay.
And I said I wouldn't mind having a new diamond ring.
Wow.
So that's what I got.
What'd you get him? Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Probably clothes because he didn't like to buy clothes.
He's not a clothes shopper. No.
No.
So, okay, you know, the question that everybody wants to know, right? The question that everybody wants to know is, how did you do it? What is the secret? And I had someone on the show earlier who's a big love guru, a doctor of whatever, and I said to her, well, I wonder how much of it has to do with the fact that you were from a different generation, where you just, if you get married, then that's it. You do stay together. There's no there's no plan B ever considered kind of a thing. Yeah. Whereas today, plan B, plan C, plan D, plan E, you know, on and on.
Yes.
Do you think that is the answer? That's why you stayed together, Marlene?
No, it isn't at all. It's we accepted Jesus as our Savior a number of years ago, and it was it's been our faith and hope and trust in God that's got us through some family times and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I hear you saying is if God wasn't a big part of your life, you would have kicked him out a long time ago.
No, I don't think I would have. To me, marriage was forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
But it's forever because of stuff that's written in the scriptures, right? That maybe that's why you feel it's forever, or is it a cultural forever?
I don't know. It's just because I love him. I can't imagine myself without him.
Yeah, yeah. Look at you. I love that emotion on your sleeve. Beautiful.
Yes. We get weepy in our old age.
Yeah, yeah.
We were not Christians when we met each other.
So the Jesus stuff wasn't a reality in the earlier part of your life.
We were church people,
but we
weren't Christians.
Yeah, well, I think everyone in Canada went to the United or the Anglican or the Catholic Church because you were Canadian.
Presbyterian.
Oh, you were even one of those.
Yeah.
And I was raised in the United Church.
Yeah.
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 So.
But when I met Marlene, this was my first love, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I guess.
I mean, up until grade 8, And when in grade 8, the principal asked me what I wanted to do with my life, because I was being disciplined, and I said I wanted to be a CA, a chartered accountant. I didn't even know a chartered accountant, but I never changed that. I went right through and got my CA. And I feel the same way about Marlene. When I saw her, it was like, wow, you know, this is it. This is what I want, to be married to Marlene. But you think it's kind of young, you know, being married at 19. I wouldn't recommend it for everybody.
You wouldn't?
No.
No.
But it was so right for us. Even our parents didn't object. My dad.
Hold on, Marlene. Your parents didn't look at him and say, "What are you doing?"
No.
Really?
No, my mom and dad were right on board with this.
But no, there was no doubt about it. When I asked my dad for a loan to buy a diamond ring, he never said, "You're crazy."
No.
He embraced it, and I think a lot of it had to do with our parents, the support, and things that you get in a family. We had a family. Yeah. I had a great family.
Yeah.
And that love just flowed over. It was instilled in both of us, I guess. Mm-hmm. But there was never any doubt. And what Marlene said about meeting another guy, when she'd gone to work, I was still in high school. And that was that verse in the poem. That's when we actually split up.
Right.
And I remember walking up the street, ripping up all her pictures and photographs.
You ripped up her pictures?
Oh, I was really upset.
You deleted her?
Listen, this was worse than the worst thing that could ever happen. It was my first love, my only love, and we broke up. But we got back together.
Yeah.
And we got married, and we came back from our honeymoon, and my first year courses were waiting for me, so I spent the next 7 years working on my CA. And when I got finished, we had 3 children. So
one of each?
Two and one.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you think, like, what do you say to your kids and grandkids? I don't know who's all in the family tree, but what do you say to the young kids these days when it comes to staying married? Do you get a little frustrated?
The first line of Nat King Cole's song.
When I fall in love, it'll be forever.
At our 55th wedding anniversary, we renewed our vows. And when I spoke to the family that were there, I said, you know, you hear so much about marriages breaking up.
Yeah.
Marriage can be forever. And it's meant to be forever.
Mm-hmm. But you guys make it sound like it was just a cakewalk. There were no issues, no problems. It was just one walking Hallmark moment after another.
No, it wasn't. We've had struggles, you know.
But you tell me somebody who's had a marriage that's never had any problems.
Family issues.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's...
What would be... Now, if you don't want to share, then don't share. Just say pass. But what would be maybe one of the darkest times of your marriage? Can you remember? Because I had a guy on last week. Do you know Norm Allen?
Yes.
Yeah, so Norm was on with his wife, Sue, and they said, Sue packed up suitcases, packed up the kids, and walked out the door. Because Norm, if you know Norm, you know, he has the spiritual gift of jerk. And the reason I know that is because I have the same gift. That was a tough go for them. But there was a turnaround after that moment. Did you ever have any tough times?
Not with each other, we haven't.
No,
not
any just with
tough
the family.
Times. There has been a marriage breakup.
And that hurts.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Especially when there's children involved.
Yeah.
I think the biggest strain at the beginning was when I joined World Vision, I traveled a lot.
Yes.
And that caused strain, which I didn't realize at the time.
Right.
But when you spend five weeks in Africa... and your wife and kids are at home.
Excuse me.
Doing this work over there, but not realizing the impact it has on your family.
Yeah. Well, do you think that sometimes Jesus people who are doing stuff for Jesus all the time do a little too much and aren't paying attention at home?
Definitely.
Yeah.
You think that's a real thing?
I do.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And how did you cope with that, Marlene? Did you tell him, look, you're not going. Get your butt back
here.
No,
I didn't. I supported him. I really did support him. I mean, he did that kind of things other than his when he practiced his CA career for 15 years. Then he didn't travel like that. But,
yeah.
Yeah, no. That was the hardest time when he was away. But I loved what he was doing. I got to go with him the odd time when he was the international auditor for World Vision. So we got to see a lot of the world. And when we were first young and his mom and dad invited me to go on a picnic with him. And I thought it was great because I was going to Hyde Park and I'd never been to Hyde Park, and it was a big deal for me. And he just said to me, stick with me and you'll see the world. And I have.
Did he say it in like a sort of a Humphrey Bogart way?
No.
Stick with me, kid, and you'll see the world.
No, he didn't. He was just very talk normally.
It was Edward G. Robinson who spoke like that.
Edward, that's what I meant. Yeah. What did I say? Humphrey Bogart?
Yeah.
Don't wreck a good story with facts, Tim. Now, we just got word that our next artist who is going to be joining us in studio is a little bit late in the traffic mayhem that has commenced in the GTA because it's pothole filling day. He said he has been in the car for like an hour and gone 5 kilometers. So he may not actually make it. Now, the good thing is he has to kind of come out this way anyway, so we'll see how it goes.
Do you want to bump?
No, there's no bumping today.
Okay.
No bumping. No more bumping, Tim.
Yeah. No more bumping. I mean it.
All right. Now, again, in the studio here with Ken and Marlene Dick, and Ken, you were involved with a bunch of Christian organizations.
Yeah.
Ministries and missionary kind of things. List them all for us, please. Yeah, World Vision was one of them.
I started with World Vision, yes.
Yeah.
And 15 years with them, then I went 15 years in my own practice.
Practicing golf?
Chartered accountant.
Oh, okay. Chartered accountant, yes.
But during that time, I spent most of it with clients who were Christian or charity type groups.
Right, right.
And during that time, I became the auditor of one of the bigger agencies of relief and development. And the founder of that agency contacted me one day and asked me if I would help him in Canada.
Yeah.
And I said I couldn't because I'm busy with clients. So he said, pray about it. So within about 3 months, another firm called me and said, would you sell your practice? Now, I was ready to retire. I was 65 probably around that time.
Yeah.
And I said to Marlene, I was thinking about retiring. And now they want us to get back into a relief development. So I joined. At that time, it was FTC Canada, affiliated with Feed the Children in Oklahoma City.
Wow.
And we actually started that in Canada under FTC Canada, which is now called Sparrow Way.
And are they based out of Guelph?
Yes.
They were.
Oh, not anymore.
No.
Where are they now?
They're in Burlington.
Burlington,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
So that's when we started the medical missions,
right,
going to Central America.
Right. Okay.
And then I retired in 2014 after we built a clinic in El Salvador. And at the time, though, I had established another group called Everyday Miracles International.
Okay, stop it. You're exhausting me just listening to this.
Yeah, well, I'm exhausted too. But presently, Everyday Miracles now, we are doing some medical missions in Haiti.
Okay.
And we got registration in 2016.
Okay, hold on. I want to completely interrupt you and just say a couple things. First of all, the thing I wanted to get to you about all this, Ken, is married for 60 years, you and Marlene, that's why you're here. It sounds like a component, maybe I'm reading into this, but it sounds like a component to a good marriage could be that your focus isn't always on you all the time. It sounds like there was some fulfillment, not just in your marriage, but fulfillment by doing stuff for others.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Would you say that's a thing?
Yes. We started it together by sponsoring a child at Oral Vision.
Right.
And that's how we got connected. And that's
so you've had a kid in your fridge, on your fridge, forever.
Yes.
Ah,
yes.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's next week's show.
Yeah.
And when we put little Jehoon's picture on the fridge, of course, our kids said, are we missionaries?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was kind of the beginning of our journey together.
Yeah.
We've always really been focused on helping kids. That's really.
So, let's see. I'm not sure if I should or could ask this. Marlene, I'm going to go to an awkward question.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you sure?
I'll let you know.
Do you still, like, kiss and cuddle and, fool around a little bit and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, yes.
Do you really? High five right there. Good for you guys.
No, my kids are going to hear that and they're going to say, oh, yeah.
How do you think you got kids? Biology 101. Yeah, they are going to say yuck, though, I guarantee you. Yeah, sorry about that. Isn't that interesting, I don't know. I just find it fascinating that we think just because you're 80 that you just kind of, all of a sudden you're like Fred and Wilma Flintstone. You sleep in single bed. Wait, do you sleep in single beds?
No.
Can I tell you, someone said to me years ago, they said, once you get a Lazy Boy chair, one of those recliners, doesn't have to be Lazy Boy, because I don't want to get in trouble with the brand, any kind of reclining chair where you sit in it by yourself, that's the start of the end of your marriage.
No. It's not true. He's had a Lazy Boy chair for ages.
He has.
And I have one now.
You've got one.
We both have one.
That's funny.
Lazy girl?
Yeah, lazy girl chair.
But we have a king-size bed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lots of room there. Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
The two recliners we have are close enough that we can push each other when we fall asleep.
Oh. Yeah, that's exactly right. Why don't you go to bed?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That is funny.
Yeah.
What was the time, Marlene, that you remember being, my dad used to say this word, you were really cross at him. The time that you were just very angry with him the most. Do you remember anything? Or is it just so much water under the bridge you can't even remember that stuff? She's struggling.
I don't remember.
Well, look at him. Well, there's got to be something he did wrong.
No, sure. Yeah. But nothing awful.
No. No.
I think it's frustration on her part. Men are famous for going into their little quiet dens
when
issue time.
Yeah,
that's
true.
A favorite den.
You know,
I just clam up.
Yeah.
I go for a walk.
And you'd know it, Marlene. Right? You'd sense it.
Yeah.
And then could you get it out of him? Could you say, talk to me, or we just leave him alone for a bit?
No, I would challenge him, like, what's going on? What's the matter? But, the first time I really noticed it was when his mom died, and he just kept going into another room by himself, and I didn't really understand. I mean, I knew he was grieving, but I didn't understand it fully.
Yes.
And he'll do that now if he's upset about something. He'll kind of go off on his own and just ask him if he's okay, and he'll tell me, and then we just move on. I go to my place. He stays there and has his little
pout.
Pout?
Yeah.
And
away we go.
Away we go.
I've heard from a few couples that it is important for a relationship to last. It's important that each person in the relationship has friendships outside of the relationship so that everything isn't, all the onus isn't on your spouse to provide you with everything, with love and affection and happiness and social times and you got to have some friendships.
Yes.
Would you agree with that?
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly.
Do you have any friends, Marlene?
Yes, I do. I have several women and who I can, we go out and have coffee together and
talk about your husbands. I know how you girls work, eh?
But then we also have, we have four kids, three girls. We have six granddaughters, we have family all around us.
Sure.
There's only our son lives in Dallas. The others are all close.
Yeah.
Close to where we live. Mm. And it's wonderful because we can just go.
Why is your hand? What are you doing? You don't have a microphone.
I know, but I want to know, can you have friends that are the opposite side?
Oh, that's a good question, Tim. What do you think? If Ken said, I'm going to go have coffee with Susie, would you go, well, have a nice coffee with Susie? Or would you say, excuse me, tell me about Susie? By the way, for everyone listening named Susie, I'm sorry.
No, well, he's had meetings to do with the mission trips.
Yeah, but friendships.
Oh, no, not he hasn't, no.
No. See, I've said this, and Ken, I want your advice on this. You're 80, I'm not. Tell me what you think. I think it's impossible for a man to be friends with a woman that he thinks is good-looking and not have some kind of internal fantasy that might slip off into some other kind of unhealthy land. I think women can be friends with guys a lot easier, just mm-hmm. friends with guys, than men can be just friends with women. What do you think?
I failed biology.
You failed biology? What? You failed biology? Well, and, I don't know how to take that.
Well, the interpretation is that it's never been an issue, and
yeah.
it's not an issue, and it doesn't. I've with medical trips and interviewing nurses, interviewing female doctors.
But friendships, though. Friendships.
No, I've never had any real friendships like that.
No, with a woman.
No.
No.
Our real friendships have been with Marlene and I, with other couples.
Right, yeah. right. So, do you think if you struck up a friendship with Susie, by the way, I don't like this Susie girl anymore. She keeps sticking her nose in this business here.
Yeah.
If you and Susie struck up a friendship, would that even happen?
Hypothetically, no.
Right.
The friendship wouldn't be yeah. struck up, basically.
Yeah. This is what I'm saying.
It's never been an issue.
Yeah.
Never been an issue.
But women, I think, now Marlene, you're certainly, you can speak to this better than I can. Women can be friends, just friends, with guys without going off into la-la land as easy as guys do. Not saying they don't.
No.
But,
no.
you know.
Yeah, I think it's possible, yes.
Yeah. Do you have a
no.
What about Steve? Hey. Steve and Sue, I hate those people. Steve
and Sue. Tell you.
No, I would no, I don't. Okay. My friends that I go out and have coffee with are either are my kids, our kids, or you know, just longtime friends, mostly from church.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Final two questions. I want to know what you would do differently, and I want to know how you would summarize advice to couples to help them last as long as you have. How would you summarize everything we've just talked about? How would you summarize your advice to couples who want to last as long as you guys have, 60 plus years? And then what was the first question?
What would you do differently?
Oh yeah, what would you do differently? Short-term memory loss here.
Well, one thing, when we were on our honeymoon, there was a couple in a restaurant where we were, and they asked us where we were from, and anyway, they found out we were on our honeymoon, and they One of them said, just remember something. Never go to bed angry. And I think that's a very good thing. I don't know that we have done that very many times.
Right.
I think there has been times, but never...
Not very often.
And a long, long time ago.
Yeah. So if you've got some kind of friction between you, let's try to get that worked out before yeah. we go to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the...
And when it doesn't work that way, yeah. you've got a king-size bed.
And two recliners.
And two recliners.
the fact that it's very easy and very meaningful to say I love you, people don't say that enough. I think for Marlene and I, it's been something we do practically every night. Say we love you or a kiss. I mean, those are just... small but meaningful little things.
Yeah.
But the other big thing is communication, is yeah. not going off in a corner or hiding someplace when you got an issue.
Into your man cave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the women cave.
They
women have
caves
too.
No, they don't.
Oh, yes.
Is it the salon?
No.
Oh. I say that because my daughter's a hairdresser, and man, that's a cave, let me tell you. Yeah. Okay, so there's a bits of advice. What would you do differently, you two? And you're not allowed to say nothing, by the way. That's not an answer.
Probably. It's easy in retrospect to go back. I probably would think a little more about my travels and being away from home and family.
Right.
When we were first new Christians, I came home one night and said to Marlene, I've got this missionary come over to talk to us because I think we should go to Africa as missionaries. I told her that.
Wow.
And I already asked the guy to come and speak to us about being missionaries.
Wow.
And she said, well, just a minute. I don't think I... What did you say?
I said, I'm not going to Africa. I'm not putting my kids in boarding school.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens there.
Sure.
So, but we talked to him anyway, and he said, God won't ask you to go to Africa. Yeah. He'll make it very plain to both of you that that's what you should yeah. do. And I said, okay, well, I don't want to do it.
Yeah. And
that's been important in the... journey we've had during our life of helping children. My joining World Vision was a joint effort. Marlene and I have always made these major steps together. I didn't come home one night and said, I'm quitting my job at this big corporation that has a career path for me and going to work for a charity. I came home and we talked about things. And every time we've made a change in our life structure, we've talked about it. Right? That's important.
Communication.
Yeah, it's very important.
And affection.
Yeah.
I still
affection. Now that's location.
No. little things.
Yes.
Like I still think a man should open the door for his wife on a car.
Yes.
A little thing. And it's meaningful.
Sure. Even the hatchback.
That's right.
Shove you in.
I said the door, not the trunk.
Oh, sorry. Just thinking back to my Italian friends.
Yeah, that's the Sopranos.
Yeah, the Sopranos. That's right. Yeah, that's right. What a treat to have you guys. It is. And I don't know, but I want you to know that this isn't just an interview, that this is genuinely inspiring stuff. And you guys seem like you kind of take it in stride, which also makes it even more inspiring. But I grew up in a family that stayed together, and it's tough. It is. It's a tough go these days. For whatever reasons you want to put in there, it's tough. And to have heroes, relationship heroes like you guys, to be able to come on the show and share your journey. Thank you very, very much for doing that.
Can I ask one question?
No, it's time to go. You don't ask me any questions. I don't. Yes, I can. Yeah.
Is this where I kiss Marlene?
Oh my gosh! Goodness. Yeah. Oh. Oh, yeah. Is that on Facebook Live? Well, look at that right there. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. I love it.
Sorry.
Take that notebook. No, it was beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much.